And I'd like to show you some things that we take to Jesus. Those people back then, and when he was here on this earth, they knew they could just get something to him that it'd be all right. I believe that still this morning. I believe he's still got the same powers he's always had. I believe that the Lord is all powerful in heaven and in earth. And I believe that whatever our need is, if we can get it to him, he'll do something about it. Whatever your burden is, whatever your problem is, if you can get it to him, he can do something about it. We're not serving a dead God this morning. We're not serving a God that, I think too loud, Roy, or something. We're not serving a God that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're serving a God that can do something about our needs. And the first thing I want to say this morning is bring your friends to Jesus. Look here what the Lord said here in verse number 40 of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew heard Jesus preach. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Can you imagine that? Now think about that. Andrew heard the Lord. He said, this is him. This is the one we've been waiting for. The Messiah. First thing he done, he went, he found Peter, his brother. He said, Peter, I have got to talk to you. Peter said, what's up? He said, we have found the Messiah. We found him. He's before. Peter may have said, well, now what makes you so sure, Andrew? There's been other people thought they had the Messiah pegged down. He said, no, when you see him, you'll know it's him. When you meet him, you'll know it's him. Come on. He grabbed him by the arm or the hand, and he brought him to Jesus. Greatest thing you can do for your friends or family is bring them to Jesus Christ. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. That's why missionaries go to the foreign field, to bring people to Jesus. Bring them to the Lord. Your kin folks that you'll visit over the holidays or that visit you, the greatest thing you could possibly do is bring them. I don't know about you, but every time I have relatives come here that I think I may not see again for a long time or may never see again, I feel a heavy burden to witness to them. Do you feel like that? Don't you feel like that God just burdens your heart and you think, I have got to say something. I have got to say something. I've got an uncle that comes down once in a while. Since my dad passed away, it's doubtful that they'll be down ever again, or maybe never. Last time I saw him was when we had Daddy's funeral here. And I told him, I told his name and I said, you need to get right with God. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. And he said, Danny, if I ever decide to get saved, you'll be the one that I call. And I said, I appreciate that, but you may not make it back home. And things like that, I had to tell him. My desire was to bring my uncle to Jesus Christ. Brother, there is nothing greater we can do this morning than influence our friend. You know why it's so hard to witness to your family right when you first get with the Lord? The reason it is so hard, because it is so powerful. You can influence your family. You watch it. When we have one person come in here and get saved, the next service, they'll have mama. They'll have daddy. They'll have a brother. They'll have a sister. You can get them. You can get them. You can get your family saved if you'll not be ashamed and witness. You know, they all expect it out of me because I'm a preacher and it gives me a little bit of an edge. But it also is a handicap because they avoid me every chance they get. But now some of you, your family ought to know that you're a Christian, and they ought to know where you stand, and they ought to know that you're trying to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget I thought about Brother Paul over there this morning, who's now a preacher and bringing others to Jesus. And I thought about the ones that brought him to Jesus. Brother Steve Durham had a strong influence on Paul's life, didn't he, Brother Paul? Some of these others, they were. I remember Steve would come into church up there in the old building. He'd say, "Let's pray for Paul. He's running from God." And that time we'd have prayer meeting. We'd all get down up there and pray. He'd say, "Pray for old Paul. He's running from God." Well, somebody finally went and got him and brought him to Jesus. Amen? Thank God, brother, he's going to heaven now because somebody brought him to Jesus. I remember Brother Mike sitting right in front of him, who's now a preacher in the prison ministry. His mother come to church. His brother, I think his brother's where y'all, where you at, David? Oh, he's not, he's back there. His mother was saved. I think David was saved. And they all say, "Pray for Mike, pray for Mike, pray for Mike." Somebody brought him one morning. Now, I remember that morning when Mike heard me preach up in the old building. He came to the altar. He was crying. He walked out and shook my hand that morning. He said, "I give it all to Jesus this morning, preacher." And he's been different ever since. Somebody brought him to Jesus. Somebody brought him to Jesus. We ought not to let life go by without making a conscious effort every day of our life to influence somebody toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why we're so ashamed to mention him. He's the greatest thing in the world. You can't beat him. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. I think it's just the devil's spirit that just comes on us and just shuts us down when we get around our family and kinfolk. Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, I travel all the time, and every time I go in and get gas somewhere, it never fails. If I go get gas, if I buy me a coat, something I don't get out of a store before something inside me says, "Witness, witness, witness." You say, "What? Never bothers me like that, preacher." It might be because you've grieved the Spirit of God so long that He just quit bothering with you. It ought to bother us when we cross paths with eternal souls that are going to be in hell forever. It ought to bother us and cause us to want to bring them to Jesus. Every while I go in the store, and I'll always say, "You remember, Jesus loves you." I'll give her my card to pay for the gas. She says, "What's your tag number?" I say, "Redeemed." She looks. She said, "How do you spell it?" That's automatic giveaway. She don't read the Bible. I can always tell who reads the Bible and who don't because you mention the Bible word. I have people all the time at town, New Manna Baptist Church. How do you spell manna? Well, anybody that reads the Bible knows how to spell manna. They spell it M-A-N-A. They spell it M-A-N-A-H. They spell it M-A-N-E-R. M-A-N-N-E-R. I told her, I said, "My tag number is redeemed." She said, "How do you spell R-E-D-E-E-E?" She went, "E-D-E-E-E-E-E." "Oh, that's close enough. That's the way that it is." And she looks at me kind of funny, and I say, "That means my sins are paid for." "Is yours?" She, and brother, I tell you what, why I want to try to bring them to Jesus. I went down to me. You don't care for me telling you just got saved the other day, do you, Paul? That Paul over yonder. That young man over there who I went and visited with him the other day. And he said, "I thought I was saved in Bible school." And he said, "I don't really believe I was." And I said, "Do you want to be saved?" He said, "Yeah." Me and him, we got down. I showed him the Roman road in the Word of God. We got down. We prayed. And he got saved right there in the floor. Amen. I said, "The privilege of bringing him to Jesus." I said, "Paul, I can't help you, but I can sure take you to somebody that can." Raise your hand over there, Paul. Show him who you are. That guy right there. I want to tell you what, brother. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we can't help you, but I can sure take you to somebody that can. Andrew told Peter, "I can't help you, but I can sure take you to a man. Come see this man. Come see this man. All my life was full of sin. When Jesus found me, I've got straightened out. Come on, Peter. Let's go find the Lord." Amen. Boy, I tell you, I remember about that old guy that got saved, and he just mean as a devil. And boy, he got saved and he had an influence on a lot of his friends. He'd hang out in poker rooms, you know, and gambling joints. And boy, he got saved, his old rough customer. Oh, mean, drinking, gambling old cuss. And boy, he got saved and got straightened out. He'd come to church and he brought a whole pew full of hoodlum looking fellas with him. And the preacher got up and the preacher preached the message. And the preacher had everybody bow your head and let's pray for the invitation.
He said, that old boy come up the altar. He said, I got a gang of them back there, preacher. He said he went back to the aisle. He grabbed one of them old rough-looking fellas. He got him down the aisle like this. He brought him down there and he said, come here, preacher. You say this and I'll go get another. He put him down there. He went down back there. He got another one of them old rough-looking hoodlum fellas. Brought him up there. He said, all right, here you go, preacher. You say this, I can get another. And boy, he brought every one of them men to Jesus and got them saved. Let me tell you something, brother. Many of us have lost that. Man, after you've been saved a while, you get involved in church, you know. And you get involved in church work. And you get involved. Boy, if we could just get back, just go out and get an old sinner, just old sinners, and bring them. Listen, I quit fooling with these religious people. I mean, I'll talk to them, the Lord gives me a change. There ain't nothing you can do for them people. You just go find a sinner. If you can find a sinner, you can get him some help this morning. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, brother. I like that at one old guy. They don't know much, but they want the Lord, see. One of them old guys that got saved, he is a drunk. And boy, he hadn't been saved just service too, and the preacher preached on tithing. He'd been saved about a day or two or something like that. He'd, all right, you better give your tenth to the Lord. Everybody give your tenth to the Lord. Everybody give your tenth to the Lord. Everybody give your tenth to the Lord. He came up last service. He said, preacher, what in the world? I don't know. What's that tenth you're talking? He said, I ain't never heard of a tenth, but I got 2/5 out in the car you can have if you want it. He didn't know much about church. He didn't know what the tent meant, but he knew that he wanted to come to Jesus. Amen. Bring your friends to Jesus. You got a friend you work with, bring them to Jesus. Work on them. Work on them. Invite them. Say, hey, come hear my preacher preach Sunday. He can't help you, but he'll tell you about somebody that can. Come to our church Sunday, and you don't even have to have them at church. Bring them to Jesus right there in the living room floor, right out there on the street corner, right in the cafeteria, on the job. I've heard of people getting saved in automobiles. I've had people saved in my van that I used to run around with. We've had a lot of people got saved in that old thing. We've had people saved in the tent. We've had people saved in the dormitories at the camp. We've had people saved on the side of the road. We picked up hitchhiking one time. We was coming back from Florence, South Carolina, and all of us went down to preach or something down there somewhere on the street. And that's when we went to the tobacco spitting contest down there in Lake City, South Carolina. And boy, we went down there to preach. Big crowd of people down there. We was coming back. We was in a Winnebago. There's about 12 or 13 of us. They picked up an old boy hitchhiking. I thought, boy, do I feel sorry for you. Hey, this is your lucky day, son, if you want to get right with God. They got him in there. They started in on him. You know what? Them boys, I got tickled. I was back in the back kind of listening to them. Them boys had that guy saved. They had him on his way baptized to join a church. They had him reading his Bible, praying, sanctified, signed up for the sword of the Lord and everything in about 20 minutes. They did. Man, they run that fella through the mill, man. That guy had enough to blow his health time he got out of there. And he's only in there just a few minutes. I'm telling you, bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. Just keep bringing them to Jesus. Your Christianity will never get old if you'll keep trying to bring people to God. You'll never get bored with your church if you'll keep bringing people to God. You won't be one of these old grouches if you'll keep bringing people to God. I believe this morning that God let His Son die for sinners, and the life of the church is reaching new people and sinners for the glory of God. Not interested in sitting around studying the deeper life. Most of you people here, you know 3 times more Bible than you're living right now. Amen. So I say, well, we want to go to a seminar and learn deeper truths. Here's a deep one. See all them sinners out there walking down the street? Go get them and bring them to Jesus. You can't get no deeper than that. You can't do nothing any greater than that. You can't do anything that would honor God any more than bringing your hands to Jesus Christ. Well, let me show you something else this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Back just a little bit to Mark chapter 1. These other ones, I'll give them to you real quickly. Mark chapter 1. You know someone that's sick? Bring them to Jesus. I didn't say to the healers. I said bring them to Jesus. Now, if a man can heal somebody, more power to him, right? But most or all can't except Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils.
Verse 34. And he healed men that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now, when a doctor is doing all that he can do, when medical science has done everything that's within its limited knowledge and limitations, I tell you what you can do. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Take those that are sick to Jesus. See, the Bible said there in verse number 32, they brought unto him. There's the words I want you to see. They brought unto him. Some of those people were so sick, they couldn't get to the Lord themselves. Some of them were so sick, they couldn't walk. Some of them were blind, they could not see. So somebody had to care enough about them to go and get them and bring them to the Lord. It was heavy. It was hurt. But somebody put forth an effort and carried those people to Jesus. You know what we ought to do to those that are sick, for those that are sick? You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about diagnosing them for what disease. But I tell you what I can do. I can bear them up to Jesus. I can take them to the Lord. Brother Knight's over there in the hospital this morning in critical, terrible shape. You know what we can do for him? We can take him up there to Jesus by our prayer. You got somebody that's sick. Hey, you don't even have to go to the hospital where they are. You can go in your bedroom, shut the privacy of your closet door, and get down and say, Lord, I bring before you my brother that's in the hospital. Lord, I lift him up to you this morning. It would be so easy just to forget it, wouldn't it? And go have a picnic or goof off for the 4th of July. But these people had enough burden, sick people, to carry them and bring them to Jesus. I believe we ought to pray and lift up. There's some people over there. There's one girl. She's from Nebo. She had a bad car wreck. She's still in Asheville Hospital this morning, far as I know, in critical shape. You know what? She probably can't even pray herself. She's like those people that couldn't bring themselves to the Lord. But we can take her to the Lord. The Bible said that we are to remember them in bonds as bound with them. And they that's adversity as being also in the body. Listen, have you ever been sick? We ought to remember them that's sick just like we was the one that was sick. Amen? We ought to care and bear them up to the Lord. A person can be in such pain they can't even pray, think. And they can be knocked out on some kind of a drug. But we can take them to the Lord. Number three, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Let me show you somebody else you can take to the Lord. Matthew chapter number 19. And I'll show you another group. This is what a lot of folks don't do, ought to. Matthew chapter number 19. And it's little children. Little children ought to be taken to Jesus. Little children should be taken to Jesus Christ. See it? Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 13, I believe, somewhere along in there. Look, somebody brought them. Then were they brought unto him, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Isn't that something? Those dedicated Christians rebuked people that were bringing them kids to Jesus. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and parted thence. Now think about that. Little children need to be brought to Jesus. Now think, those little boys and girls, if you were out in that community and Jesus was just say on the third street down on the fourth house on the left in Jerusalem, those little kids out here wouldn't know where he was. They wouldn't know how to get there. Somebody had to load them up and take them to Jesus. So somebody went out. Don't you appreciate people like that? They could have been just sitting over here looking at him, sitting over here saying, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm saved. Woo! But listen, the Christian life is more than just all getting together and shouting. Some people don't know that. They think their Christian duty is fulfilled if they come to church every Sunday and just shout. Now, that's okay. Thank God for it. I believe in it. Help yourself. But, oh, what about them little kids? What about them little boys and girls that don't know where he is? Somebody needs to go and get them. Say, you want to go see Jesus? Come here. I'll take you. You want to go? Come here. You want to go? Come here. I'm getting a bunch of here. Here we go. And I'm taking them to Jesus. And I'm taking them over here. And I come to the Lord. And I say, Lord, would you put your hand on these kids and these old professional Christians around here. We'll say,
get them out of here. They lick their nose during the service. They put chewing gum on the carpet. One of them threw up out there in the hall. Get them out of here. You're bothering the Lord. Get them out of here. And the Lord says, watch your mouth, boy. He said, you want to get in the kingdom of God? Look at these little kids. They receive me like a person's supposed to receive them. The Lord forgot the religious crowd. Put his hand on those little kids. Don't ever forget, friend. God don't look at things the way we look at them. Don't ever forget. What we think is great, God always thinks great. What we think is non-important, sometimes God says is very important. I know a lot of churches where they get mad at the preacher and the bus workers for bringing little kids to church, trying to bring them to Jesus. That's ridiculous. Now, I'll tell you one person don't get mad, and that's the Lord Himself. He wants them there. I looked over there and I saw they had 208 on our buses this morning. 40 of those are special citizens. You see that over there? That's nearly 200 kids that somebody's went out yesterday, worked hard, those workers, and brought them to Jesus Christ today. They didn't bring them up here to see me. A lot of them's up there in the other building hearing about Jesus right now. Bunch of them sitting here on these first four rows hearing about Jesus right now. We're here to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Bring Jesus. And our prayer is that He'll put His hand on every single one of them like He did these little kids here. I believe you ought to start by bringing your own kids to the Lord. I believe you're deceived by the devil if you have the attitude of, well, I'm not going to influence my child one way or the other. I'm going to let them grow up and decide what they want to do about Christianity. You don't let them decide whether they want to go to school or not. You don't let them decide whether they want to go to the dentist or not. When they're sick, they go to the doctor. You don't say, honey, if you want to go to the doctor, all right. You don't, Mommy's not trying to make up your mind for you. You don't reckon they'd be dumber than a doorknob. They wouldn't have a tooth in their head. They'd be dead of some kind of disease. But brother, you want them to go to school so they can learn. You want them to go to the doctor so they can stay well. You want them to go to the dentist so they can keep their teeth. And brother, if you care about their soul, you're going to want to take them kids to Jesus Christ for their soul. You as a parent, your job is to take your kids to Jesus. Your job. Amen. My prayer is for my kids, as soon as the Holy Spirit shows them they need to be saved, they'll get saved. Two of them already have, the other one's on the way. Matthew 14, let me show you another one. Quickly, Matthew chapter 14. Jesus brought some food to him. Is the Lord in charge of your food? Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place. They didn't have nothing to eat. Jesus said, give them something to eat in verse 16. Verse 17, they said, we ain't got nothing here but five loaves and two fishes. Look here what He said in verse 18. Bring them hither to me. Bring that food to Jesus. You know what? Every bite of food that goes in our mouth ought to first been took to Him first. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you people this. Everything should be blessed. Hey, did you notice He took five loaves, two fishes, and blessed it? And fed 5,000 people and had food left over? And we got people here in America that eat steak one day, lobster one day, Chinese the next day, American the next day, Mexican the next day, and all that, and say, I'm starving to death. I can't. It might be because the blessing of God ain't on what you've got. Boy, you bring them groceries in. Did you know you can carry $75 groceries in your hands now? Five loaves and two fishes, buddy, ain't got much on us, has it? You take a man that's full of kids, he'll go spend $50 on groceries. He'll have to have a blessing from God, for $50 will feed a whole family in a week's time. You can't feed a family off $50. A man, wife, myself can't eat off $50. I say just eat bread and butter. And the way bread is now, you'd have a hard time doing that. But if you had an egg one day, or pinto beans one day, you had hamburgers one day, you had lunch meat one day. I went to buy a pack of ham at the store the other day. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know how they fix them packs of hams? They look like they're that thick, but the back end of them sinks in that much. You can reach in there and stick your finger in there, an inch, man. You boy, I got a big stack of ham. You ain't got about four pieces in there. It's about $3.99. I tell you, brother, we need the blessing of God on what we eat. And you ought to bow your head and say, Lord, bless this food. You don't know what it's got in it. You don't know what kind of germs it. You need it blessed before it goes in your mouth. Take it to Jesus. Take your food to Jesus. I gotta hurry. Let me give you something else. Let me give you one right quick. I'll skip some of these. Listen, if God can make Israel's shoes last 40 years, He can make your food, groceries last all week. He can make your gas go longer, make you get better gas mileage. He can keep your teeth from falling out. He can make your heat last longer and your wood burn longer. God can do it if you'll just bring it all to Him. Bring your wood pile to Him. Now, Lord, you know I ain't got much wood for this winter. And Lord, I'm doing my best, and I pray that this wood would burn and get us through the winter. Oh, that's silly, preacher. I heard one person say this. I ain't never done this. I heard of a woman that went out and laid hands on her water meter, and the bill come down on it. I don't know if I'd do that. I ain't never done it. I've heard of people getting out laying hand on the hood of their car. Lord, take your car to Jesus. You know that old colt, they bought him to the Lord. I was going to show you that, but just for time's sake, they brought that colt to the Lord. There ain't nothing wrong with getting out there. Boy, I pray that my gas would last longer, ain't you? How many of you have been going down the road and you be 40 miles from nowhere? Oh, God, I'm running out. Oh, God. And, buddy, I turn the air conditioning off. I learn, get right down to a reasonable, modest speed. And I say, Lord, let me make it. I was coming back to, I got home about 15 after 2 yesterday morning from down Atlanta. Son, I put in the wind down there from on the other side of Atlanta and got down, got home. And, boy, I was coming up from Chesney. And I had about a quarter of a tank of gas. I know that sound right outside of Chesney says, man, 38 miles. And I said, I believe I can make it. I said, come on through Rutherfordton. I believe I can make it. And I said, I don't want to stop no more. I'd already stopped twice. And I didn't want to stop no more. I made it on in. You say, Brother Danny, God's not interested. If he sees every sparrow that falls to the ground, He's interested in that sandwich you got in your lunchbox. Amen. He's interested in what your kids take to school to eat. Sometimes we think God's not interested in our gas or our carburetor or what. He's able to handle it all if we'll just bring it all to Him. Now, see, if God's not in it, nothing will satisfy you. Daddy used to tell us that story a lot. I don't know. I doubt if it's true. He said he'd go to lunch at school, steal his lunch every day at school. Didn't have nothing to eat. Didn't have nobody to provide for him. Mom died when he was little. He said every day at school, he'd steal his lunch. He said he'd all kids had lined their little paper bags up and down through there. One day he went in there. He said he started lifting up every one of them. See, he thought might have the most in it. He found one that was real heavy. He said, boy, that's got a lot of good stuff in it. Took it outside and got to eat it. And it was 2 walnuts and a hammer. Didn't turn out to be much. I doubt that really happened, but he told stuff like that. And I tell you what, brother, I'd rather have it with a blessing of God on it. God bless this food. God, stop my grass from growing when I'm going to Ireland. God, protect the kids. God, give my kids to you. God, give my house to you. God, give my car to you. I'll tell you something else. One more and I'm gonna be through anyway, but I'll tell you something else. Your money. A lot of times we take our tithes and put them in the offering plate and say, hallelujah. What about the rest of it? Give that to God. He can make that go further. He can bless that. God really owns it all. Now the tithe belongs specifically to Him, but all that we keep should be blessed by the Lord. Bring it to Jesus. There's one more I want to show you and I'll be through. I was going to spend some time on this, but I won't. Mark chapter 9. That's if you got a child that you can't do nothing with. Mark chapter 9. Everywhere I go, people say, Brother Danny, please pray for my boy. You wouldn't believe the phone calls that I get from people that ain't in this church. And somehow or another, they think that I've got some kind of magic potion that can straighten out all teenagers. And I have people call me all the time and say, Danny, my teenage boy, my teenage girl, they're on drugs. I can't talk to them. They have these old wild, wicked posters in their car and wild music and their lifestyle's terrible. When I say something to them, they get mad. They're wild. And I can't handle them. Let me show you Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Well, there's a bunch of people going on here. And they brought a man, verse number 16. What question ye with them? Verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, they should cast him out, and they could not. Look at verse 20. And they brought him unto him. They brought that boy to Jesus. I've got something to tell you this morning. Parents, I want to say a word as I close to every parent that has a rebellious child that you can't do nothing with. This has been on my heart all week. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to say it and we're going to pray. When you think there ain't nothing you can do, and you say, I can't do nothing with them. Yes, there is. There's one thing you can do. You can bring them to Jesus through your prayers, and them, their friends, their music can do nothing about it. The police stop you from buying them up to the Lord. Nobody can stop you from just getting down every night and saying, oh God, he won't listen to me. God, I don't know where he's at, but God, get a hold of him. God, touch his heart. Look, nobody can stop you from doing that. I tell you what, you have at your disposal the greatest tool for getting your young person straightened out of anybody in the world if you'll just keep taking them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord. Listen, that boy, he foamed at the mouth. He jerked around. There was nothing his daddy could do for him. Your heart. I'm telling you this morning, you just bring them to Jesus. You bring them to Jesus. Just keep bringing them. Lord, Lord, you know where he's at. Lord, you know what he's doing. Lord, they won't listen to me. Lord, I can't talk to them, but God, they can't stop you. Listen, I've been to visit. I knocked on the door and heard them get real quiet and won't even let me in. They won't let the preacher in. They won't let the bus worker in. But they cannot stop God's Spirit. He'll go right through the door. He'll go right to them while they're in the bed asleep. And he'll say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You better get down there at that church and get right with God. You're going to die and go to hell. Buddy, you keep taking them to Jesus. You don't have to doubt. He's working on them. He's working on them. My uncle up north, I can take him to Jesus. Me standing here and him up yonder and up north. I'm going down and get down on my knees in my office. Say, Lord, here he is. Get him, Lord. Get him. Here he is. Help him. Take him to Jesus. Whatever your problem is, take it to the Lord. Bring it to Jesus. Did you notice all the way through the Testaments, everything they had wrong, if they could just get it to Jesus. The lady with the issue of blood. The man with the demon-possessed son. If they could ever get it to Jesus, everything would be all right. Let's stand and bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, we're not going to have a long invitation. We will sing a couple of verses of some song. No one talking. No one leaving. Every head's bowed. Eyes are closed. I feel like there's somebody here this morning that's got a real terrible, rough situation that you need to bring to Jesus. Maybe your marriage. Maybe your health. Maybe your finances. Maybe your children. I don't know. Maybe a lost friend. Bring it to Jesus. Just get out of your seat and come on. We're only going to sing two verses. And we'll be dismissed this morning. Hey, Father. Lord, there's people here this morning that are bringing things to you right now. These are things that we can't do nothing about. Lord, there's no way that disciples could have fed that multitude with five loaves and two fishes. It couldn't be done. But they brought what they had to you. There's no way that man could straighten out that boy. He didn't even know what to do to help him. But he did bring him to you and you helped him.
Now, Lord, help us realize that we can't straighten out all these problems in this world, but we can bring them to You, and You can do something about them. And I pray that You'd help these burdened souls to do just that this morning. I pray especially for these parents that have kids that are out in sin. Dear Lord, talk to each one of them kids. You know where they are right now. You know exactly what they're thinking. You know exactly what's on their mind. Now, Lord, help them. Bring them to Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen.